I think it's time for a new guest. I think we wore the last one out. And I think it's time to have somebody that I know firsthand a little bit about.
So tell me about this guy that you brought in.
Well, Steve Pope and I have known each other for a couple of years through a few various magazines and things. And Steve, of course, is the editor-in-chief at Flying Magazine, which for some reason I seem to have this really cool relationship with these days. And it's really fun to talk airplanes when we're sitting over in the trailer, because Steve's a journalist and a commercial pilot, and he's a multi-engine guy and a instrument. And after my own heart, he has a seaplane rating. I love that idea. But of course, Steve's been around the industry for 20 years at least. And Steve, we are so happy to have you here on Attitude Adjustment.
Hey, Rob and Amy. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Wow, this is going to be so fun, because there's so many things going on here at the show, but also with Flying Magazine. And now, you've been the editor almost a year, editor-in-chief almost a year at Flying.
Yep.
How's that, what do you think so far about that job?
I would say it's one of the best jobs in all of aviation. So I feel very fortunate to have the job. I'm very happy to be in that position. I realize it's a bit of a sacred trust, being the editor-in-chief of Flying Magazine, a publication that's been around since 1927. And then when I first took the job, it was a little bit of a challenge in that, as you guys know, I have a newborn, and so adjusting with the family. And then also we did a big redesign of Flying Magazine, as anyone who is a subscriber to the magazine knows.
It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. We did a complete redesign of our website. We rolled that out first. We redesigned our e-news, and then we redesigned the magazine. And, really the thought behind the redesign was that we knew that Flying Magazine needed to be updated for, the current times. We're in 2016, and it really needed to reflect that. We also know that we weren't trying to redesign the magazine to attract youth, but we also realized that a guy who's 40 years old today and is reading Flying Magazine, he's either a pilot or he's thinking about becoming a pilot. That guy, not that long ago, was a very young person and has pretty much grown up with the internet and is very tech savvy and has an iPad with, an app on it that he uses and things in his cockpit. And so he expects that the aviation publications that he reads will reflect that. And so that's really what we went for. But we also wanted to keep the magazine very accessible. We wanted to keep the magazine very authoritative. We wanted to keep the voice of the magazine the same. So we've retained, all of our columnists are still there. And then we've added in a lot of new content, and we've added a lot of new voices. Rob, you're one of those new voices as our senior editor now, helping
and
us out.
And here's my voice.
And there's your voice.
Oh, yes, okay.
I think I added it up, and I think we've added around 50,000 hours of cumulative flight experience to the magazine without taking 1 hour away. So I think that's,
that's huge.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty big deal. So, now we've had the redesign. It's been over 6 months, and we've continued to, hone it and shape it a little bit, but we're getting to a point where we're really liking it, and we're really making the investment in high-quality photography. And we're trying to keep the content, not really change the content too much. We really want to keep it that it's going to be, when you get to the end of reading Flying Magazine, you should feel like that was a really good read. I learned some things, and I feel like it can make me a better pilot.
Yeah, I have always read it cover to cover. And recently, it's been exciting to see people I know who are really smart people in the industry showing up in the magazine. And there's one other thing that as an editor myself, I hold sacred, which is that people look at the pictures first in magazines. I'm a writer, so, it doesn't insult me. I understand it. The art is so critical. And airplanes are beautiful. Things that fly are beautiful. You get the sky, you get the clouds. I appreciate that you're holding true to that.
Yeah, and photography historically has always been very important to Flying Magazine. It's been the writing. We've had some amazing writers, Richard Bach, Ernie Gann, these just fabulous writers, but we've also had some really fabulous photographers over the years. And so we definitely wanted to make sure that the photography and the illustrations that we were providing in the Redesign magazine were up to that high standard that was set before us. And so we've brought on a staff photographer. His name is John Whittle. He's done photographs for over 40 publications. He actually got here to the show a little bit late because he was down in Costa Rica doing photos for Islands magazine. Amazing, cool photos. And now he's up here, and he loves aviation. He's doing air-to-air photo shoots and just loving life. And his stuff is beautiful. So I would encourage our subscribers to remember his name and to look for his stuff, because it's really good photography.
What kinds of things have you seen at the show that you think are going to make some great stories in coming months?
There's so much going on in the general aviation industry right now, and we're just scratching the surface of what's going to happen. I mean, I would say that in the last 10 or 20 years, the innovation that we've seen with, you know, now you've got Nexrad weather on your plane, you've got your iPad, you've got moving map, we've got GPS, we've got all these technologies, and people think, oh, well, we've reached this point now that we have everything that we're going to have, and that's totally the wrong way to look at it. This is just the beginning of the innovations that will come in the next 20 years are going to just completely blow people away. And part of it is going to be driven by the Part 23 rewrite, which is we're changing the rules for certifying airplanes that were written 50 years ago and pigeonhole you into having to design a master switch that has to be, you know, this rocker switch, and it's very specific what it has to be. Now the FAA is recognizing, thanks to GAMA and NBAA and AOPA and EAA, that no, we shouldn't be telling you how to do it. We should just be telling you, we need you to design your airplane to be able to do these things, but the performance that you get from it, innovate, do whatever you want to do to get there. And that is going to open up the floodgates to people who are very smart and people who are very passionate about aviation but have been hamstrung in the past by the Part 23 regulations and just couldn't do things in very innovative ways. And we can't even imagine what those innovations will be, because it's actually, you see young people walking around at the show today, they're going to be the people developing those technologies for the future of aviation, and they're here getting ideas now of what will become those next innovations. It's so exciting.
Think about the couple of words that come to my brain as you were thinking about that or expressing that. I mean, passion and innovation. I mean, that's what we see a lot of. We've always seen at AirVenture, but I mean, in the last few years, it is just so unbelievable to move around the show and see people doing and thinking, just thinking about incredible things that, as you said, someday some of these kids are going to be actually trying to convince us old guys that are really cool products that we've got to have in our airplanes, or will make airplanes more effective, more efficient, burn less fuel, create less toxic emissions or what have you. And it's starting at this place.
It's always started at this place. It's always been the Experimental Aircraft Association. That's where so much of the innovation has come from, because the EAA members have been free to innovate forever. Now you're seeing the FAA say, okay, we're going to allow that innovation also to occur in the certified world. And so you're seeing, we saw EAA at Sun and Fun, and Dynon got together with the FAA, and they approved an attitude indicator that's an experimental product, but now you can install it in, 600 general aviation airplanes. And then Garmin here at AirVenture, their Team X had been working on this G5 attitude indicator anyway, and said, well, wait a minute, we're going to do that too. And they did. They got the STC on Friday. And so now that product is approved in over 500 models. That's just scratching the surface of what some smaller avionics makers, some of the larger avionics makers, it's going to just free all these companies and all of these bright minds to innovate in ways that they couldn't before. So it's just incredibly exciting.
You know, he's echoing what Justin Ryan from Bendix Kings was telling us about this breaking it wide open.
Yeah.
It's really exciting. And I love to get the president of a very big avionics company come in and tell us we can do things we couldn't do before.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It'll allow big avionics companies, small avionics companies to do things faster, smarter, and for less money. And that's going to translate into an increasing pace of innovation. It's going to translate to products that are more affordable. I mean, there's no downside to it. Everything is very positive in this. And the, you know, the thing is, you might have a company that introduces a product and maybe it's not a great product. Well, I think the buyers, the customers, are sophisticated enough to know. They'll look at the products and they'll read the reviews on them, and the really good products will rise to the top. And you know, some people will fail, and they'll create products that maybe aren't so good, but there's going to be a lot of really good products.
I think you're right
about
that.
Boy, and think of the opportunities for young people that are saying, oh, I don't know, why would I want to be involved in aviation?
Oh
my heavens.
Man, you could be a software engineer, you could be a hardware engineer, you could be in avionics if you like the little tiny stuff, you could be, you know, dealing with big design.
I mean, it's an exciting time. I mean, imagine that, or an aviation maintenance technician, or a dispatch. I mean, there's so many opportunities.
Well, you guys have really pumped that up on your website these days. You have a big career section on your website.
Yeah, we've actually we've shifted a little bit of our editorial focus, not really away from what we've done traditionally, which has been personal transportation, general aviation, but recognizing that, you know, there really is the start of a pilot shortage it's affecting, you know, regional airlines are here at the show exhibiting. Rob and I talked about that. You know, a lot of schools are here. They changed the ATP rule. So, they changed the rule for becoming an airline pilot so that you need an ATP. So you need, you know, a lot more experience. And that is putting pressure on the airlines because, you know, it's a little harder for them to fill those seats with qualified pilots. So that's happening. So we're recognizing that, you know, that market is becoming important, and people are craving knowledge and they want to learn about that. And so we've started focusing. We've created an aviation career network on our website. We've got a job board on our website where you can go and find all kinds of information about the latest jobs. And we're not going to change our focus to where we're doing articles all the time about regional airlines or about, you know, going to an aviation university, but it's going to become part of our coverage.
Yeah, it's good to see that. And like you said, balance. You seem to be able to also really give something in the magazine and then throw you to the web for more. I like that.
Yeah, and we've actually moved some content that had been in the magazine, we've moved it to the website. So we had On the Record was our monthly recaps of NTSB accident reports. We've moved those to the web. We've got content in the magazine where we talk briefly about it, but then we say for the full story, go to the website. And there's just so much we can do on our website. And we have a really really great website now since we've redesigned it that allows us to do some great storytelling on there. It allows us to provide information in some really compelling ways that I think are cutting edge in the aviation world. I don't think a lot of the other websites out there are able to do some of the things that we're doing.
Well, so let's tell our listeners where they can find us on the web.
It's flyingmag.com. That's on the website. And obviously you can pick up Flying Magazine at any newsstand where it's being sold, or you can go and subscribe online and yeah.
And there we are. Well,
where are you on the field here?
We have our editorial headquarters over by the press center there. And so that's where we are. And then we've got golf carts where we have our writers and photographers all over the field. So you can look
excellent
for us wearing our flying golf shirts.
We will definitely do that. Stephen Pope, thank you so much for coming in to EAA Radio to tell us what's going on out there. We really deeply appreciate it. We are 96.5 FM and 1210 AM on your radio dial. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.